Welcome to the Pure American Podcast, the show where we cover what's happening in America and what Americans should be thinking about. With your host, Fatty, that's me, and my buddy Red Boy. We're just two idiots on TikTok that decided to start a podcast, and this is our second episode. We really love the attention and all the feedback you gave on the first episode, so it's something we're going to continue. As of right now, I think we're going to upload, twice a week, Tuesday, Thursday, and we're both really busy. I'm a college student. He's in the military. If this continues and this continues to grow, we will probably up the upload times. Maybe, you know, we'll see. Just let us know what y'all want, and we'll see what we can do. Hey, if you're listening on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, turn on the notifications, and if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, basically everything in the bottom right-hand corner banner that you can see on the YouTube video, make sure you follow us there, because we are now available almost on every single platform, which is sick.
Besides SoundCloud.
Besides SoundCloud. I haven't decided to upload to SoundCloud. I thought, you know, Spotify's free. Why not?
We're going to be rappers.
Yeah.
Like Topher.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's Pure American Pod. It's Pure American P-O-D. That is a Twitter handle. There's a max character limit. So, yeah, I had to improvise. Make sure you follow us there. You'll get updates about shows when there's a video being uploaded. And if our uploading schedule does change, you'll see it there first. So, with that out of the way, we're going to get into today's episode, and this is going to be a pretty heavy episode. This is, well, it's only our second one, so it's going to be the biggest one, I imagine. So to start off the episode, we're going to talk about this viral craze. If you're on TikTok, if you're on Twitter, which Twitter is just a crap hole these days, honestly, you know, if you're still on there, you'll probably see this phrase, kill all men, or CAM, abbreviated. I mean, it's this stupid idea and movement that all men are terrible. Men are the main problem of everything in the world. All men are basically, what, essentially rapists, right? I mean,
they say rapists, all men are killers. All men are anything that is bad or derogatory, basically.
Right, yeah. It's just plain misandry, you know. We'll get to what that means later. We're also going to go over the Parkland three-year anniversary. For those of y'all that don't know, February 14th was the three-year anniversary of the Parkland shooting, but instead of, you know, actually coming out and Biden, you know, saying, you know what, it's a horrible tragedy, you know, mourn the loss of these people that have unfortunately died in this, he used it to push a political agenda. It's kind of stupid. No, it's not stupid. It's disgusting. Yeah, it's an anti-gun rhetoric. If you can't tell from the first episode, me and Red Boy are very pro-gun, extremely pro-gun. So.
Yes, sir.
We're also going to go over Trump's acquittal, you know, back-to-back impeachment champ, the best, the only one to ever do it, I'd say, the best at not getting impeached.
And he can run in 2024, so.
Yes, he can. That'll be interesting. We're also going to be talking about this potential $1,400 stimulus package, because this thing's supposed to last people from March to July. Doesn't make sense. And then
I didn't get that one. So they want one stimulus package to last someone for 3 months?
Supposedly, it'll help a number of Americans
4 months
last, from March to mid-July. So, yeah, more on that one later.
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis, the absolute savage of a governor. I wish he was the governor of my state, even though mine's pretty cool.
Oh,
but
my God. Boy's a savage.
And then to close off, Nancy Pelosi, the freaking living mummy, announces this 9/11 style commission to investigate the terrorist attack of January 6th on the Capitol. So, it's a pretty big episode, as you can see, so we hope you all enjoy. Let's get started with it. So, we want to start off with kill all men. Tristan, you have the biggest TikTok platform out of the two of us. Explain a little bit what it is and what you've, encountered with this movement.
So, kill all men is just, I don't know why it blew up. I don't know why a social media platform, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever, would let the phrase kill all men blow up. And it started by a bunch of just feminists that are super, I don't even know the word for it. Idiotic is a word for it, but
yeah,
it was just started by them, and they're just people who have a hatred for men over whatever's happened, something that might have happened to them or something that's happened to someone that they know, and they generalize all as in all men, those same people will then go on later, once they get called out, to be like, oh, well, we don't mean all men. I'm just like, okay, well, I want to talk to whoever your English teacher is, because she obviously failed you. It's like...
Or you just tuned out.
Yeah, or you're just on your phone the whole entire... Yeah. I mean, actually, I was on my phone a lot during class, too. But, beside the point, all is a very simple term.
Right. I think the best way to explain it, in all honesty, would be to just show you guys what we mean. So there's this girl on TikTok. I'm pretty sure she deleted the videos. Luckily, your boy saved them, found a way to get them. Just so y'all know, anything you post on the internet will be there forever. Whether you delete it or not, nothing's ever truly gone. Excuse me. So to kind of, this is a brief summary. This girl made a song. She said it was streaming. I don't know where it is. It wasn't on Apple Music. It was. I couldn't find it on SoundCloud. Maybe on Spotify. I actually didn't check it. It wasn't on YouTube. So yeah, this is what we mean. That's what I say. Kill all men. They just disappoint me again and again. They come in my life just a mess of my zen. Oh, I ain't playing with you as my pen. I said, kill all men. This ain't a joke, but you'll say it again. Disrespect me, ho, that's your loss. I'm the baddest bitch you'll ever come across.
Yo, that song is fire on mute, dog.
I feel bad because the beat is hard. Whoever she bought the beat from, dude's probably sitting there like, oh, why was that what this was used for?
Beat goes hard, and then this man's just like, am I a joke to you?
Yeah.
Like,
so this is what we're dealing with, and if you want to see like why it's so backwards and why it just doesn't make sense, she got so much hate for this. She ended up making... a, like, response video of what does kill all men mean? Well, here you go on that one.
A lot of people want to know, why did you make a song called Kill All Men? Do you hate every single man in existence ever? You stupid woman named Emily? Ugh. Kill all men does not mean kill every single man to ever exist ever in the world, ever. It means to kill toxic masculinity, to kill the way men have treated us women for ever, since ever. Do you need me to show you some examples?
What insane
I don't know what the second one is. I think actually that might be an extension to it. Anyway, this is what I say. It doesn't mean kill all the men. Again, I made a TikTok addressing this, but I have a question. If it doesn't mean kill all men, why is it kill all men? What does it mean then? What does that mean? It doesn't make sense.
This goes back to our last episode when we started talking about words don't mean what they originally meant anymore. All apparently means some. Like,
exactly. And like, I think we're talking about this kill all men movement obviously applies to Western society and Western culture. I don't think women realize how well they have it here. You know what I mean? Like, dog, go to the Middle East.
Go to the Middle East, yeah.
Yeah. You've been there. Like, it's not great. It's not good. It's horrible. You know, they have no rights whatsoever. Have your personal beliefs and whatnot. You know, women should have rights. I know a lot of people that don't think they should. I haven't really heard a great case, but, you know, if you do, drop in the comments as to why they shouldn't, and I'll read it. I'll probably disagree with you, but...
The thing is, it's like, the same people that support the kill all men phrase, if you want to call it a fucking movement, call it a fucking movement, are the same people that complain when females... women, if you don't like the word females, get generalized.
Right.
The same people are just like, oh, well, you can't generalize the whole entire female species. I'm like, okay, what are you doing right now?
Right. I think what's funny is because one of the stats that a lot of people point out is this, like, I don't know if you've heard it, but, like, it's in college. It's like 1 in 5 women get sexually assaulted or raped, or it's like 1 in 4. It's one of the two of them. That statistic has been disproven so many times, it's insane. Like, when I say disproven, like, there's a bunch of people that's like, dude, this is a horrible statistic. Because essentially, the survey that they gave out, right, it was something along the lines of, like, the questions were literally, like, has anything ever happened to you that you didn't consent to?
I didn't consent like, to getting in a car accident.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, it can range anything from true evil and horrible, like, rape, you know, or gang raped, all the way to, hey, we were at a party and this one guy brushed up against my rear end. But that's the range, and when you take all these into effect,
like,
you're gonna get that number. But
consent's a very, like, broad word or broad Yeah. I'm not gonna say.
Well, it's not even. It's not even that. It's not even that. Like, there is a difference, dude, between sexual assault, sexual harassment, and rape. You know what I mean? All of them are terrible, obviously, but you can't categorize these all under one umbrella because they're all different things, and that's what they're doing.
Ladies, remember, and I'd say men too, but it's normally females that do it. Just because you regret sex after you already had sex does not mean it's rape. And I see it, like, someone will make a video about it on social media, right?
Right.
And I see, like, all these females swarm in the comments saying, oh, no one says that. I'm like, a lot of girls will say that someone raped them after sex, but they just, they regretted it.
Right. It's, I think, a lot of the a lot of the problem, too, is, like, you're always taught, like, if you're ever intoxicated, nothing's ever your fault. Obviously, unless you're a dude and you get drunk and you have sex with a girl, it's clearly your fault. But you know what I mean? Like, think about
DUI.
Right. Think about it's like, oh, well, I'm talking about, like, sexual, you know, misconduct. It's like, if something happens, well, no, because, again, this can also be something that's used to get out of a jam where it shouldn't be like, oh, I had one beer. I had one sip of beer. I didn't have any control over myself. Like, dog, no. If you're both hammered, and you know what I mean, and you consent, and you both consent at that time when you were drunk, that's still consent. And if you regret doing that, that's not rape. It's unfortunate you both had no control over your actions, but, like, this is the stuff that's, you know, that they're going around, passing around. You'll see it a lot on the internet. And I think it was Time Magazine. Someone's going to have to fact check me on this. I don't remember the exact percent. I actually did a YouTube video on it. It's on my channel. Shameless plug. But if you, they kind of gave the same questions to men as to women with this actual, because a lot of guys, when they think a man's been raped, they think in a homosexual way, which is not true. Forced penetration happens at the time found at virtually the same rate at, for men than it does for women. Like, with heterosexual relationships.
Yeah.
Which it's just crazy.
They're not reported either, though.
Exactly.
So. That's why everyone's just like, well, the statistics of that, it's so low. I'm like, it's not reported because, I mean, you can call it toxic masculinity or whatever you want, but, like, guys don't want to be ridiculed. Like, when a guy says, like, hey, like, yeah, if he wants to go talk to someone, I was raped last night. And this is, even guys will say to other guys, it's like, oh, you got raped by a dude? They'll be like, no, by a girl. And even males will be just like,
right.
Dude, you're a pussy. That's what they'll say to them. That's the problem. It's not only females, but it's like males say that shit to males, and then that's where credibility all goes out the fucking window.
We live in an era where misandry is honestly being praised. You know what I mean? Like, when they say, like, men are responsible for all wars. Okay, but you also got to remember, right? We live the times when they refer to all these, like, men lead society. You can't deny that. You know what I mean? Whether you think it's a good thing or not, men do lead society because we generally have, better leadership skills. I'm willing to die on that hill, right? And we have better decision, not maybe better decision making, but better quick thinking skills. You know what I mean? Think on your
feet. All you 15-year-old white girls, delete that paragraph right now.
Exactly. Now, I will say this. Usually behind every great leader, there's a very strong woman. You know what I mean? You think about, like, the first ladies.
Not Kamala Harris.
No. The first ladies, I use this term loosely, you know, wives, the queens, stuff like that, right? But generally, when it comes to quick thinking decisions, you know, men dominate in that category. I mean, look at our military, you know. Oh, by the way, speaking of military, I didn't write this down, but I saw somewhere they're, like, loosening or, like, lessening the actual physical requirements to join the military for, like, a more inclusive battlefield. I'm like, dog, I want every unfair advantage in war ever. Like, if we're fighting somebody, I don't want it to be unfair and inclusive. I don't care. Steven Crowder said something along the lines of, like, I want the most redneck tobacco chewing, like, dude
hell
out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, brother.
Exactly. Like, someone who doesn't, won't hesitate to go out and fight for their country. Like, inclusive doesn't matter. Anyway, that's a whole nother, that's where feminism crosses the line, honestly. But, yeah, I'm sorry.
My shit just cut out.
No, that was me. I lost my train of thought. But, yeah, no, so, like, this is where this Kill All Men feminist, this new era of feminism, which is really just misandry, in all honesty. I mean, you look at third wave feminism in like 2014, 2015, 2016. Like, this is all leading up into this. Men are just terrible human beings for some reason.
Women just want to say that, oh, well, all women are oppressed. I'm like, no.
Yeah, for real. Like, what's with the victim Olympics these days?
It's like, go back to the 1900s. You want to see oppression towards someone who has a vagina?
Yeah.
Where you have to, like, you yourself would feel obligated to stay in the kitchen because that's how society was.
Exactly.
Like, you're able to go get a job. You're able to go out and be the CEO of a company. You're able to do whatever you want. Sports and whatever, but you feel like you're oppressed. And the only people that feel like they're oppressed are always the people on social media that are like alt girls. There's always the alt girls, always colored hair, that always are just like, oh, well, I'm oppressed in today's society. I'm just like, you can't be oppressed if you don't leave your mom's house, sweetie. It doesn't work that way.
And it's always these people that speak out. So, like, you know, obviously within the minority community, there's been a lot of, obviously, we're oppressed talk. That's not even what I'm going to get to, but I think we see how these people are treated and they're held up on a podium, which in my opinion, no one should be, no matter your race, your creed, your religion. Like, no one should be held up as some special person just because something's happened to you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think true equality is, like, everyone has their own problems and you need to address it. Now, if it's a serious problem, we need to address it. Like the whole police thing, I'm not saying police brutality doesn't happen. I'm all for police reform. I just think it needs to be in the way of more funding, getting rid of unions, and give them better training, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, when you have a serious issue like that, it's like, yeah, a bunch of people will talk about it, you know? But when we have this new – I'm arguing, honestly, it's a new wave of feminism. I think this is fourth wave feminism. I'm calling it right now. This shouldn't be a problem. This is not a form of oppression. You're not oppressed in the United States if you're a woman. You're really not, because I hate the argument of we can't go outside at night and pump gas at 10 o'clock. I don't want to go outside by myself at night and pump gas at 10 o'clock.
I carry a Glock. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I'm 6'4", 300 pounds. Doesn't matter. Like, I could conceal carry a cannon. I'm still not going to do it. I'm still not going to go outside by myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you're not oppressed in the United States, dog, especially on the basis of gender.
Yeah, you're right. It's like females, especially ones that support the kill. If y'all are thinking we're getting off track, no, this is all related to the kill all men. All these females that talk about kill all men do the same exact thing. But they're always the females that have a bad experience with one dude, gets your heart broken or something, and they just think automatically, well, one guy equals all men. And then later on, they're like, well, all doesn't equal all means some, and then you're just confused as I am. It doesn't make any sense.
Because if you want to apply this same logic, it's, okay, all Muslims commit terrorist attacks. Every single Muslim's a terrorist. That's not true. That's literally not true.
Mexican's illegal.
Yeah, every black person commits a heinous crime. Like, no. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how this works. All whites are inbreds. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how this works at all.
Unless you're from Alabama.
Actually, you can see it being applied right now by saying all whites are racists. If you think about it. It's literally being applied in that one. And that one's being celebrated. But if I were to turn around and say, well, all black people commit crimes, you get, you know, yelled at. Which is crazy, because it's all the same logic. And in my, like, this literally came from this kill all men narrative. The two narratives that are working with this type of logic is this kill all men and all whites are racists. You know what I mean? So let's shift actually to another narrative that's starting to be pushed that I'm scared, because it's, you know, within these past couple weeks, it's really starting to gain traction. Not a good thing is this anti-gun narrative. So February 14th was the 3-year anniversary of the Parkland shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. I think that's how you say it. I hope so. So Biden put out a statement. It reads, if we can read it right here, 3 years ago today, a lone gunman took the lives of 14 students and 3 educators at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. In seconds, the lives of dozens of families and the life of an American community were changed forever. Started out pretty strong. Thought that was a pretty good paragraph. Obviously, I don't think he wrote it. A lot of revision. But... So it says, for 3 years now, the Parkland families have spent birthdays and holidays without their loved ones. That's really tough. I will give you, that's a horrible thing, you know. They've missed out on the experience of sending their children off to college or seeing them on their first job after high school. Like far too many families, they've had to bury pieces of their soul deep within the earth. Like far too many families, and indeed, like our nation, they've been left to wonder whether things would ever be okay. This is gonna be a tough thing to talk about, but
the problem here, like, if y'all don't understand what we're getting at, is like, it's a terrible incident that happened, and it should never have happened. But Biden flipped it to push an agenda.
Yeah. So let's continue. This is gonna be a terrible thing to say. It's gonna be hard to talk about. But this whole, you know, far too many people have had to bury their loved ones, like. You're in the military, you know how many people have to bury a loved one that's just out there trying to do a job and trying to protect their family and their home. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, like, people die every day, and not to discredit these people's death, because this is an unnecessary, absolutely evil killing. You know what I mean? Like, this shouldn't have happened. And the guy that did it is super messed up. Personally, I think if you shoot up like something like this, if something like this happened, the gunman or whoever's responsible for it should be put to death. That's my opinion.
Public execution.
Okay. Calm down, let him eat cake. Anyway, moving on, it says, these families are not alone. In big cities and small towns and schools and shopping malls, in churches, mosques, synagogues, and temples, and movie theaters and concert halls, on city street corners that will never get a mention on the evening news, all across our nation, parents, spouses, children, siblings, and friends have known the pain of losing a loved one to gun violence. This is where we start to get in this transition of a narrative being pushed, and you can already see what it is. And in this season of so much loss, last year's historic increase in homicides across America, including gun violence, all right, moving on to the second page, because it's too basic, disproportionately devastating black and brown individuals in our cities has added to the number of empty seats at our kitchen tables. Okay. I currently reside in Memphis. I don't actually live downtown Memphis, but I reside in the area of Memphis. Let me explain to you who is disproportionately killing these black and brown people. Other black and brown people. Disproportionately. So let's get that out of the way. I don't want to see anybody say, it's the white man's fault. No, let's get that out of our heads. It's still horrible, right? I've had a friend of mine that was shot at a senseless, stupid killing in the back of the head by another African American. Not a good thing. I'm very upset about it. Anyway, moving on. And, well, actually, Biden's right. He'll never get a mention in the evening news. He never did. Moving on. Today, as we mourn with the Parkland community, we mourn for all those who have lost loved ones to gun violence. Over these 3 years, the Parkland families have taught all of us something profound. Time and again, they have showed us how we can turn our grief into purpose to march, organize, and build a strong, inclusive, and durable movement for change. you know what's funny? Is Kyle Kusha, wait, how do you say his last name? You know, it's Kashuv? No, not Rittenhouse. Kyle? Yeah, Kyle Kushev or something. He was one of the survivors of the Parkland shooting. Instead of going with this anti-gun narrative like all these guys did, apparently, he went to, we need more guns. Because it would have stopped it. So that's funny. So he's definitely not included in all these things, right? Anyway. The Parkland students and so many other young people across the country who have experienced gun violence are carrying forward the history of the American journey. It is a history written by young people in which each generation who challenged prevailing dogma to demand a simple truth. We can do better and we will. This administration will not wait for the next mass shooting to heed the call. We will take action to end our epidemic of gun violence and make our schools and communities safer. Today, I am calling on Congress to enact common sense gun reform. It's always common sense gun law reform. Like, always common sense. Like, no, it's not. Including, here we go, requiring background checks on all gun sales, banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, and eliminating immunity for gun manufacturers who are knowingly put weapons of war on our streets. We owe it all to those we've lost and all to those behind, wait, and to all those left behind to grieve to make a change. The time to act is now. Okay. Idiotic. This is why this statement's absolutely stupid. Here we go. First of all, if you want to talk about the amount of gun deaths that happen, the majority of them are handguns. No one's talking about banning handguns. Literally nobody. But you know what's funny is a lot of those handguns that are involved in shootings are usually already hot, which means they've already been used to commit murders, or they're illegal. The majority of the murders are committed by illegal guns. You know what I mean? No one's going to go out, buy a gun from a gun store, well, some might, and then turn around and murder it, and then keep it.
The thing is, so, like, they say you need background checks for, like, every gun purchase. Yes, that is literally federal law. Every gun that's purchased from an FFL dealer goes through a background check. The only time that it's not is through the loophole when you go to a gun show and it's being sold by a private dealer, in which most of the time, 90% of the time, yes, they don't do a background check because it's just, oh, okay, here's $400.
Yeah.
Here's your fucking gun. The other thing is, it's they say weapons of war. They don't even know what that term means. Like,
no one's carrying an M249 saw down the street, spraying it down the street, dude. Exactly. Like,
they say weapons of war, military-grade weapons, which we talked about last time, is an M249, 240, Mark 19, M2A1, M4, because, yes, even though you think it's an AR-15, it's automatic,
or 416. Burst
with a 14.5-inch barrel.
Right.
But they say weapons of war, looking at it, they're like, okay, AR-15, that's a weapon of war. If you want to put into contrast, put an AR-15, which they see as bad, and a Mini 14 right next to each other, that's a Woodstock. Both are 5.56. Both are semi-automatic. Both can take a 30-round magazine. But the only reason why they think the AR-15 is a weapon of war is because it looks like a military-style weapon. In which, under federal law, the AR-15 equals 16 inches in length, and it's also semi-automatic.
The funny thing about it, too, is what a lot of people don't understand, because they also bring, the caliber. I'm going to be honest with you. The 5.56 is a crap round. It's tiny. It's a 22. The only reason it's 22 with more kick, really, is all it is.
22 the funny with more
thing,
powder.
The funny thing about it is, like, we use it in the military, or I think, right? I mean, you confirmed this. You are in the military. It's a light round, and it travels at a high velocity. It makes for good suppressive fire, and you can carry a lot of it. You know what I mean? And it not weigh you down that much.
You can keep talking. I'm going to make a comparison. Give me a second.
Oh, boy. Anyway, if you look at the 240 Bravo, which is the medium machine gun, the MMG that we use, most of the time it's mounted on vehicles. There are occasions where people actually carry it. Most of the time there's a crew. There's like 2-3 people carrying the gun, extra barrels and ammunition. That is chambered in 7.62, the same thing that an AK is chambered in, which is a much bigger round with a heavier capacity, with a heavy payload, you know, slinging behind it, and more powder. It does way more damage, right? But again, people who know nothing about guns, people who just, like I said, know absolutely nothing about guns are going to make gun laws over stuff that they have no idea what they're talking about. And it's clear every time.
All right, let me make this comparison, right? So, a AR-15, normal platform,
right,
fires a 5.56. You can get in other calibers, but AR-15, you think AR-15, you think 5.56. This right here, if it'll focus, probably won't. You can see how small it is. This is a 5.56. They see this as dangerous. It's a 22 caliber lead with way more gunpowder behind it. Like, as you guys know, I own a lot of guns. This is my hunting round. A 300 Win Mag, 30 caliber, with a lot more gunpowder behind it. If you want to think about, if you also want to get into different calibers, think about 300 Blackout. It's in the casing with the gunpowder of a 5.56, but it's this caliber. So if you're thinking about it, they're just like, they think 5.56 is dangerous because when a 5.56 enters the body, since it's a 22 caliber round, 5.56, 223, whatever you want to call it, it goes in the body and it bounces around. That's why they see it as bad, because the military uses that. We also use 7.62x39 in the M240s. They just think, it's just so ridiculous.
That's what I was saying, the 240. It was like people think, again, the 5.56 or the 223 caliber, right? Which 223, it's literally a 22. Just with a bigger casing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people think, oh, okay, you know, this is what we use in the military, it's bad. Like, no, dog, again, there's way more deadlier rounds. Again, 7.62. You don't see anyone really talking about AKs, because we don't have people running around with AKs. Even though I would, personally, in my opinion, I'd choose a 7.62, a gun chambered in 7.62 over a gun chambered in 5.56. If we're being honest, you know, which they have some pretty cool mutant guns out there.
I just like, for me, I don't know why, I like just odd chambered rounds or oddly chambered weapons. Like 6.5 Grendel and Creedmoor, the ballistics on that is insane.
Yeah.
Like, you could load a 6.5 Grendel into an AR platform with exactly. 22-inch barrel and easily hit out to 800 yards with the right optic.
Yeah.
But they're worried about stuff like this. Just because the military uses it. That's literally it.
It's something that I'm keeping a close eye on is the amount of people, or not the, well, yeah, no, the amount of people in the Senate and the House of Representatives. I said the Senate. Anyway, whatever. Congress, Senate, House of Representatives, obviously President Biden, that are like using their power to push this anti-gun narrative. Dude, like, I feel like we get a new thing about why guns are bad every single day. Like, I thought this died out a long time ago. You know what I mean? But really what I wanted to read that statement for is just how disgusting that it truly is that Biden's like, yeah, you see all these dead kids, anti-gun. He basically is standing on the graves of these kids to promote a dead, you know, an anti-gun narrative.
He used a tragic shooting to push a narrative, and it's just, it's disgusting.
It's truly, like, you could have easily said, hey, you know, I feel bad. We mourn today the loss of these kids, right? Like I said, the first couple paragraphs weren't bad at all. It was a good statement. Until you got to this thing, it was like, you see the real reason as to why this is out there now. You know what I mean? And this goes both ways. I would never use that to push a pro-gun narrative in a statement like that. I'd still use it as an example, you know, because, of course, statistically, good guys with guns stop more bad guys with guns than bad guys with guns, you know, shoot people, innocent people. And also, you want to get on, again, he mentions the black and brown community, which is a lot of people talk about black-on-black crime, you know, in the hood or in the rougher parts of the neighborhoods, or shootings that happen all the time that don't make evening news, which is true and is sad, right? I mean, how many times do you think Southside Chicago is like, each person that's been killed is named on the news? It's not. It's just like, hey, there was 327 murders in the span of 3 weeks. That's not an actual number. I'm just giving an exaggeration of how it's usually covered. But a lot of people don't realize, like, these guns, they're not going anywhere. Like, the guns that people kill other people with in the hood like that or do drive-bys, they're not going anywhere if you ban guns or high-capacity magazines. That was a cute voice crack, fatty. Stop it. But it's crazy. I think I used this example last episode. I don't remember if I did or not. We have a drug problem in the United States, which is funny because drugs are illegal. If you ban guns, you really think that's going to stop people from getting guns? It's not. It's not going to do a dang thing. I mean, I think it's funny. If you want to completely get rid of all guns, didn't, like, the UK have to ban butter knives from being carried out in the open or something like that? Or is that a joke?
I don't know about that.
I know there is a knife ban. Like, there's bans on certain things. I don't want to say it. You know what? Now I'm going to Google it. Hold on. Yeah, like, because it's always the... Hold on. UK... Ooh. UK knife ban.
Butter knives.
What knives are banned? What knives are banned in the UK? Hold on. It is illegal to sell a knife to anyone under 18 unless it has a folding 3 inches. It has a folding blade 3 inches long or less. Carrying a knife in public without a good reason unless it has a folding blade with a cutting edge 3 inches long or less. So
no bayonets.
You can't carry, like, a survival knife. Like, it has to be a pocket knife, and it has to be a good reason. Like, what? Like, that's the point we're getting at. It's like, okay, well, they ban guns. People are still getting stabbed. Still getting ran over. It doesn't stop people from hurting people. We don't have a gun problem in the United States. We have a people problem. And banning guns and doing more background checks, well, we already do them. The reason it just is so fast on a background check is because we have some pretty nice technology that doesn't take long to load results. You know what I mean? It's not going to solve a problem that, like, is mainly focused on the mental condition of these people. You know what I mean? Whatsoever. Yeah. Positive news, though. Let's move on to some more positive news. Trump's acquittal. My boy Donald Trump is now 2-0 in terms of impeachment acquittals. Back-to-back impeachment champ. And, yeah, I think he ran 2024.
Pelosi is pissed.
Oh, yes. Yes, she is. I have a clip somewhere. We're going to find it. Anyway, did you see the thing where apparently they, like, I don't know how to explain it. Man, what's it called? Oh, yeah. They doctored a tweet where they made it look like it was, shoot, whatever it is. Man, I can't even explain it. Oh, yeah, they added a check mark to some random person. like a verification check mark on a tweet they used in a screenshot. You can look this up. It's a real thing. And she wasn't verified. And they use this as evidence. And it's like, dog, like this is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with lies that people will lie at whatever cost to frame somebody for something that didn't happen. Which, by the way, it's funny because, you know, Trump's Twitter's banned. It got banned so fast, you didn't see the tweet he sent out. It was like, yo, everybody go home. Like, you don't need to be here anymore. There was also the other thing where he made a literal video that he posted. He's like, look, I'm not for all this storming that's going on. We had a great peaceful protest to begin with. Now it's time to go home. Thank you for your support. But of course he got banned, so not a lot of people saw it. You know, it's probably still out there on the internet. You can look it up. But it's crazy.
It says Jennifer Lawrence. What?
Yeah, well, it was like, it wasn't the actual Jennifer Lawrence, the actress. It was some random Jennifer Lawrence girl out there.
Okay.
And they added a
verification. Jen Lynn Lawrence.
Yeah, there it is.
She tweeted, "We have been marching all around the country for you, Mr. President. Now we will bring it to D.C. on January 6th and proudly stand beside you. Thank you for fighting for us." And then the one
they used this for evidence, and they threw just a verification check mark on there. And this lady has never been verified before whatsoever.
Yeah, the next tweet right next to it says, "Best day ever. Thank you, real Donald Trump, for the retweet.
Yeah.
It has been an honor to stand up and fight for you and our nation. We'll be standing strong on January 6th in D.C. with you." And then the tweet on here says, "I have never been verified on Twitter, so why did my tweet used in the fact-free impeachment include a verification badge? I'm assuming Democrats faked it. Like they're faking the whole case. Why did you add a verified badge to my tweet in your presentation?"
The funny thing, yeah, exactly. Like that's what I'm trying to say. Like it's bad, dog. Like they use some straight up just horrible stuff, you know. I think too, when you also look at it, they also use something where a clip of like during Donald Trump's actual speech itself, they edit it out where he's like peacefully and patriotically. Like they cut it. And it was a horrible cut. Like, it wasn't even a good cut. Like, I could do better in iMovie, you know?
Yeah.
It's splicing clips together. And, like, they just sold that as, yeah, look, he's saying, go siege the Capitol. Like, no, man, that's not what he said. And it's not even close to what he said.
They're trying to push. And that's why Pelosi is just sitting here pissed. She literally has exhausted all of her resources at this point. She has exhausted everything. And she's just mad that she has nothing else to push on him. She has nothing else to do because that old bat, I'll say bat, that old bat is still going to be in office by the time that President Trump, or Donald Trump, he's not president anymore, but by the time Trump tries running again, she'll still probably be in office because with the way that Congress is and everything, they're not going to kick her out.
Oh, no.
She's going to stay the Speaker of the House until she dies.
And the crazy thing about it is you can't control people. You know what I mean? Say what you want about who, you know, what was the root cause of the siege. There's people like, it's Antifa, or no, it was a few Trump supporters. Because we all know, like, if you're all angry and then one person decides to just say, send it, like a bunch of other people be like, yeah, let's go, you know, screw it. I think it's insane to say, well, Trump incited it, or Trump should have done more. Like, you and I both know, with the followings that we have on social media, you can't control everybody. You can say, guys, don't go do this. Don't go bully this person. You know what I mean?
Or don't send hate.
Don't send hate. It doesn't matter.
They're still going to fucking do it.
Yeah. Like, you can give all the warnings you want. It's still going to happen. You know? It's crazy to me, especially when, again, Trump said, bro, go home. Stop doing this.
And people still will get mad at you for not being able to control another human being. Like, they'll get mad at you. Like, I've had this happen multiple times when I make a video about someone that says something stupid. I'll say, hey, don't send hate to this person. And I'll make a video. A lot of times I come off like an asshole. That's besides the point. But but then people will come in my comments or my DMs getting all mad. They're like, oh, well, why aren't you controlling them? Why aren't you telling them not to? I'm like, I already told them not to. I can't control their mind, control their fingers to not go send hate to someone's page. I don't condone it. I don't know a single person that does condone it. But if they do it, there's nothing we can do.
Exactly. Like, and, I mean, what? Do you want to be able to control human beings? Because that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. I wouldn't do it. I personally wouldn't do it. Yeah, not at all. I can issue a warning and a suggestion. It's up to you to take that suggestion. You know what I mean? And there'll be more on this.
Yeah. For me, off topic, at that point, if you post something stupid, I make a video about you, and all my followers start talking to you and making fun of you because you're stupid and you delete your account, that's on you. That's not on me.
Exactly. And
fact check your own stuff.
There'll be more about like why this was a bad thing because, again, when you look at like later down in the episode, Nancy Pelosi is going to launch this giant investigation task force to look into these this domestic terrorist attack. And again, that'll be at the end of the episode because that's going to take a long time to break down. But moving on to speaking of like how the Democrats are trying to possibly control people, this $1,400 stimulus package, right? So there was this report that was put out. We have the actual reports here basically saying that somehow this $1,400 stimulus package will help like 22.6 million, in the ballpark of 20 million Americans, literally or adults, last from March to mid-July. $1,400. That's it. How? I want to know. Because my rent for my...
$12 a day.
My rent on my apartment is like a little more than half than that. For a month? Are you serious? That's stupid. And that's supposed to cover all bills? You know what I mean? I don't...
I mean, there's a lot of people out of work right now, too, that have, obviously, houses. Mortgage right. on a house normally is a lot more... Well, actually, it depends on where you're at, so don't. I won't say that, but
yeah.
Mortgage on a house, if you're the only one paying for it, you may have kids, your wife might be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
$1,400 isn't going to do shit. It's going to do shit for a month.
So maybe. Here's the report that's brought out by Morning Consult. There's a bunch of websites like Forbes, Business Insider, you name it. These people are like, hey, this is what this, like, this is what they're using. They're all quoting this source, whether they're saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. What's funny is it applies to like there's different levels to it applies. If you make a certain amount of money, you're not eligible for it, which is stupid in my opinion, because just because you make a certain amount of money doesn't mean you don't need the stimulus package. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're not factoring in kids if you have dependents. And I think the funny thing that they say in here somewhere along the lines of, okay, well, what really is, you know, what are they hiding? It says this will last. This will help these 20 million people all the way from March to mid-July, assuming that they maintain income from work and unemployment benefits. If the checks are sent on March 1st, these payments would allow 22.6 million Americans to pay their bills in full through the middle of July. That's quoted here on this website. You can look it up. Basically saying if you're still able to collect your unemployment checks, this will help. But if you can't, you know, if you can't, that's all literally based on the assumption of if 20 million people can keep their unemployment benefits, they'll be able to last.
Which they won't. Unemployment goes based off of income that you're bringing in. You're bringing in a stimulus check. They're most likely going to drop your unemployment.
But the benefits run out. When do they run out? I think March.
The thing that I find funny is that all these people that were like, oh, well, he's going to give us $2,000 a month, get fucked. He's going to give you $1,400 for 4 months.
We don't live in socialism. You don't get paid to do nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, unemployment's really broken right now. You kind of do.
Yeah, that's actually true. One of my friends is making bank.
Anyway, it's crazy, right? Because, again, how does this make sense? It doesn't make sense. $1,400 is nothing. If you have, like, I don't know what the average family pays to feed, like, four kids. But I feel like $1,400 a month is not enough to feed four kids in the house and two adults.
It's literally and cover nothing.
Electric bills and whatnot, what have you. Like, it's so, oh my goodness. Like this isn't going to work.
I'm in my process of getting out of the military, right? I still make $1,100 every 2 weeks. So I make $2,200 after taxes every month. And that's just sustaining myself. So I'm doing fine. But like we've been talking about, think about kids, wife who's stay at home or whatever, food, rent, mortgage, whatever you want to do, it's not going to suffice for 4 months.
Exactly. And the big thing this study brings up is like, these people are struggling. They weren't able to make enough through all the previous stimulus checks. You know what's really going to help pull these people out of this pocket of poverty is if you open up the economy again. which is what you need to do and which will help. Because when we end up deciding to reopen fully, you're going to see small businesses are going to disappear, which are, what is it, the majority of American businesses are small businesses, right?
Majority, I think. Yeah. The study is very vague because they want to say the study brings in employment and everything like that. How many people are employed by a certain thing? If you're a big-ass company, such as Target, such as Walmart, you don't apply to that graph. You don't apply to that situation. Yeah.
And I thought, you know what's funny and ironic is, I thought a lot of leftist liberals and whatever Democrats hate big corporations, right? They hate the bane of their existence, right? So when you reopen the economy and all the small businesses are gone, guess who's going to be running? Guess who's still going to be able to operate? Guess who's still going to be able to hire people? Big corporations, which then opens the gates to monopolize. And monopolization, as we see, I don't even know if that's a word. We're going to say it's a word.
Now it's a word.
Yeah, monopolization is not a good thing, as we've seen in the past, because we had to end up making, like, laws against monopolies and antitrusts, the Sherman Antitrust Act. Like, we've made laws against this. But
for
a good reason. For a good reason. And if you continue to go down this path, that's all that's going to remain. The literal thing that you hate the most and openly hate on, eat the rich, big corporations don't need this, they expose their workers, or whatever, they extort their workers. Like, that's all that's going to be left. That mom-pa's coffee shop that you like to go to ain't going to be there. That little corner store grocery store, you know, ran by your neighbor, Dale, ain't going to be there anymore. You know, we're going to have to go Walmart, Kroger.
Little burger place that you love going to that's been there since 1976 ain't going to be there no more.
Exactly. Like, and then on top of this, if you add in that potential $15 minimum wage, death of small business in America. America will be a corporate country, like more than what it already is. You know what I mean?
And if y'all want to hear about that whole conversation, go to the last episode because we talked about that for a minute.
That $15 minimum wage is in there for a minute.
Yeah.
The $14 stimulus package is stupid. It doesn't make sense. It basically cuts off a lot of Americans. If it's only going to help 20 million Americans, 22.6 million Americans, there's still 330 million, whatever the population is. There's still almost 300 million people left that still need some stimulus. You know what I mean? They still need some help because you're not opening work for them, you know? So, again, doesn't make sense whatsoever. Actually, I have the Forbes list of, the actual how it works, if that makes sense. I can read it right now. If you want, you can look at it. It's just, you can Google, you know, the Forbes $1,400 stimulus package. So it says, how much will qualifying Americans receive? Up to $1,400 for qualifying individuals, $2,800 for qualifying couples who file a joint tax return, $1,400 for each dependent child under the age of 17, and $1,400 for each qualifying adult dependent. Who qualifies for stimulus package? Anyone making $75,000 for single filers, $112,500 for head of household filers, and $150,000 for married couples filing jointly. You will not receive a stimulus package or payment if your average gross income is at or above $100,000 for single filers, $150,000 for heads of households, $200,000 for married couples filing jointly. Like, why? You know what I mean? Like, and that's just, even if you have dependents, if you make over that amount of money, you're not getting it, which is stupid again. You know what I mean? Like, what about that single dad or single mom that's making whatever, $100,000, barely scraping $100,000 a year, struggling to pay for their kids or whatever, or pay child support, whatever it is. Now, they need this stimulus package, and they're not going to get it. Well, needing is relative. They need it, you know, to get through the week but or the month, but they're not going to get it now. It's just, it's messed up. It's stupid, and I personally don't think it's going to help at all. You know, I think it's just, it ain't going to go very well. I don't think it's going to go as well as people think it is. So, I don't know. We'll continue to monitor that situation because we can't just print money according to what a lot of people think. You can't print money and money doesn't grow on trees. Well, it does come from trees, but it doesn't grow on trees. You can't go out and pick it like apples.
I wish, dude.
I know. You know how nice that'd be.
I know, right?
But so when we come back after this advertisement, because speaking of money, we got to pay bills and find a way to support the podcast. If you guys actually, side note, if you like the podcast and you're thinking of, we haven't opened it up. If you're thinking about, hey, I want to donate, not saying you have to. We don't really care that much. that might be a possible way for us to monetize. If we end up monetizing, this might just be, you know, chill. I will never really, to be honest with you, I'm going to try my best to never put this podcast behind a paywall, because I want to give, you know, we want to give everybody the opportunity to listen to everything and have it for free. So we're going to have to find ways to help pay for the podcast if it becomes a full thing. Sponsorships are a way. Donations are another way. So, but with that being said, speaking of sponsorships and got to paying bills, we'll get right back with you after this ad. So, Ron DeSantis is an absolute savage. If you don't know what you what I mean by that, supposedly, right? But this is false information, by the way. You might have heard, supposedly he told Biden to go F himself. Not true, didn't happen. But he does bash Biden and his supporters for targeting Florida and calls them, like, so-called lockdowners. You know what I mean? He labels, oh, the lockdowners. Because he's essentially completely almost opened Florida all the way back up. And
Biden don't like it too much.
He said they're doing great. You know what I mean? And to the point where Biden's thinking about, like, restricting or having some extra scans or tests done to go to and from Florida, which is really bad, in my opinion. I think Florida should be the example for once, which is hilarious. The Florida man should be the example for the rest of the United States. So, you know, we should probably get back on track, you know, because honestly, you get past the idea of we have to be stuck inside, you know, to get everything solved and fixed and cured, which is, in my opinion, stupid because, of course, it's leading to more mental health problems. Your body won't be able to build a good immunity to a disease if it's never exposed to it, you know. Which, if you don't believe that this is done on purpose to keep everybody inside and pent up and aggressive, I mean, you're living under a rock.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. It's, I mean, Florida, everyone in Florida, like, their, I don't know what the correct term would be, but, like, their happiness right now is a lot more. Because I've talked to Brent Perez, I talked to my friend Daniel Kosky, who also lives down there.
Right.
And they say they're just like, everyone down here is so much happier right now because we don't have restrictions. It's Florida. I mean, it's up to businesses if they want to have people wear a mask inside of their business, but most of them are just like, no, they're like, we don't care. Everyone's having a great time besides all those, like, crocodiles running around everywhere. Everyone's doing suburb. Alligators. What? I don't know. I never been to Florida.
Really?
I die there. I never been.
It's nice. It's real nice.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I might book a trip down there because, to be honest with you, I'm tired of sitting inside and having to wear a mask everywhere I go. It's stupid.
I'm down.
It's dumb. I have a beard.
Let's take a trip.
Honestly. But yeah,
everyone's just super happy is what they said. They said it.
Right.
Like, everyone's living their own lives like it's normal. If someone wants you to put on a mask in their own privately owned store, everyone's just like, okay, I'll throw one on. There's no one's really going to complain because it's not required everywhere.
Exactly. And I think the funny thing about it, right, is, well, not the funny thing. I don't know why I said that as much. My personal opinion is if we start to open up things and get back to normal, I think our political climate in our world and our society right now will actually start to get better. That's my opinion, because people are going to go back to work. They're going to be living their daily lives, interacting with people, you know, that might not agree with them and have those daily interactions all the time with people, right? And just get, again, back to normal and open businesses and go about their daily lives, not having to worry about if I'm spreading or can I get too close to you or do I have to keep a mask on? You know, it'll just take that tension away that we've been seeing in our country for almost a year now that doesn't need to be there. Obviously, there will always be political tension, but we can decrease that a little bit and get back to some sense of normality. You know what I mean?
It's because a lot of people's ideology about, like, who they should side with is also based off, like, side with politically, is also based off of how serious they think that COVID is. Because obviously, Democrats are taking COVID super seriously, even though, in my opinion and many others,
you got a double mask.
Yeah, it's like, in my opinion and many others, you don't need, it's not that serious. Looking at statistics, looking at compared to other viruses. I mean, hell, take AIDS, for example.
Somehow we're not talking about the flu. That's kind of just disappeared for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But everyone's just flipping out over on the left-leaning side, and all Republicans are like, let's open up the economy again. Let's get things rolling again. Like, I don't know. It's just everyone's basing who they're siding with off of how serious they're taking
COVID. Yeah, because if you want the best boost to our economy and the best way to get people out of poverty, it would be open up the economy again, like fully.
Yeah.
Don't just partition off. Just say, all right, let's go. Boom. You know, here, it's all open. Go to work. Go to, you know, go to school. Do all this great stuff. And I promise you, you'd see just an ease over the American people. Some sense of it, obviously. There's still going to be a political divide.
Weight off your shoulders.
Right. Because you're right. People side with just, you know, what they believe just because of politics. Like, you know how many people I've seen on Twitter recently? It's like, I regret voting for Joe Biden. It's insane. Because you get this, you finally get to see that just because you side with somebody politically, like, and you're only voting for someone because you don't like the other person, you know what I mean? Or you don't like what you hear about them, which is obviously, well, you can see twice, has been proven false.
Politics on social media, especially, because I've been doing political TikTok for well over a year now.
Yeah, right? You were the first political TikToker I ever saw.
Yeah, I was one of the people. I started the half-lick trend. I got the conservative movement going on TikTok. Not to sound narcissistic, but
you narcissistic scum.
But it, like, toxicity on social media. Like, I used to be able to have a lot of conversations with the left. A lot of civil conversations and a lot of civil, like, debates.
Right.
Soon as COVID hit, I shit you not, everything went toxic on both sides. I'm not just going to say that the left got toxic.
Dude,
the right
both
got
sides
toxic as hell, too.
Stupid.
But
yeah,
as soon as COVID hit, month and a half later, toxic.
Everything. Everyone's just stuck at home. They need a place to vent. They turn to social media.
Like, I'm right, you're wrong.
Exactly.
There's no settling on anything anymore.
It's
crazy
to me. That's kind of, and honestly, that's kind of why I separated myself a little bit from the political community on TikTok. I still post political content. It's not everything I post
now.
Yeah.
Now my political content is this podcast.
So. Exactly. This will be the most political I'll get. But I just, it's so toxic. And again, you'll see the sense of normality when you start to go out and you start to actually have, again, normal life, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the amount of people that hated Donald Trump, right, was, like, insane, obviously, before COVID. But it was mostly people just like, yeah, Trump sucks. Or F Donald Trump. You know what I mean? And then, like, CNN running, like, Donald Trump did this stupid racist thing again today. And it's like, well, no, he didn't. And you know what I mean? Everyone's like, yeah, no, I don't like Trump. Now it's just like, Donald Trump's the worst. You like Trump, you're a white supremacist and a Nazi. You probably rape women. It's like, no, dog. Like, that, you didn't see that until now. You know what I mean? And I think, honestly, the BLM riots were some of the best examples of it because people are so pent up and so have so much aggression that when something like that happens and they go outside, like, they're outside, they can unleash. You know what I mean? It's literally a byproduct of being stuck inside for, you know, however long with all this tension buildup. So, speaking of riots and tension, speaking about the BLM riots and, you know, the push in Minnesota. So you remember how they called for, Milwaukee called for the, like, city council, the defunding of the police? They backtracked Friday. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. So here we go. I called it. I think everyone called it that had some form of common sense between their ears. So the defund the police movement has backfired in Milwaukee. This is Fox News reporting this. Minneapolis has, like, begs for, it says they beg for cops to come back. Hilarious, dude. So here's what it says so far. Again, this is from their Instagram. There is a link to the article, but this is a brief summary. It says, Minneapolis on Friday backtracked on its original push to defund the city's police department in the wake of George Floyd's police custody death after residents begged the police to hire more officers, citing longer response times and increased violent crime. Jeez, I wonder who's been saying that will happen for the longest time. Anybody with common sense. You get rid of officers, more crime is going to go up. The city council on Friday voted unanimously, everyone voted for this, to approve a $6.4 million in additional funding to the police. What? I mean, come to think of it, I think anybody who's like, you know, I think in order to make the police better, we should probably fund them more versus defund them. Well, geez, I wonder what happened here. You know, Ilhan Omar is like screaming right now on the inside. because she was like the leading person, and we need to get rid of this. We need to defund the police in our city of Minneapolis. The department says it only has 638 officers available to work. That's insane. You know what? Hold on, Tristan. I'm going to look this up. So there's only 638 officers, right, that were available? Let's see. It's not Milwaukee. I said Milwaukee. I'm so stupid. It's Minneapolis. So let's see here. Minneapolis population of 2020. 439,000. We'll say it's 439,012. There's only 638 officers available for almost 500,000 people. That is stupid. Because a lot of those people just left. Like you said, they quit or went on extended medical leave because they were just like, dude, I don't want to be a part of this. You know what I mean? Like, this is not something that I want to partake in where everyone just hates me for what I do, you know? Which is understandable. I would hate to work in that climate constantly. Just, you know what I mean?
It's like, wait, let me see. I'm about to pull something up. Give me a second.
It's just funny. I think it's ironic because everyone who's been like, hey, we need to probably sit back and talk a little bit more about police reform because I don't think defunding the police is going to get the job done. You now see we were right. You know what? I don't usually like to gloat and say I told you so. But I told you so. We told you so. This was going to happen. And it happened. Welcome to the world, man.
It's like, it's just, well, man, I don't even know if this is going to pull up if I, will it pull up if I hit open? I'm on my files for the share video file.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay. Well, we'll see if it fucking does it. But what I think's funny is that, like, they wanted cops gone because they said, like, people weren't going to cause any more problems anymore. The criminals wouldn't do anything. That was, like, right. The point they're getting at.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the fucking criminals, who they were, like, vouching for, said this. It won't pull up.
What'd they say? Well, what's the video?
Oh, man. I can't. Wait, what the fuck? Oh, that's monitors. What the fuck? Damn, it's not going to work. It's kind of sus.
So what was the video?
It was a meme. It would have been funny.
But no, yeah, like, again, this is just common sense, man. You want to talk about some common sense reform? There's some common sense reform. Add additional funding to police, and you get rid of a lot of crime. It's like a two. It's 2 + 2. It'll always equal 4. Like, it's crazy, bro. And it's funny to see this backtracking. The city that led this, honestly, that led the defund the police movement, is now saying, no, let's fund the police. maybe we were wrong, just a little bit.
Bring them back, please. We won't say anything ever again.
Yeah. Okay. So, moving on now, because I said we were going to do this in the beginning of the episode, tying into the Trump acquittal. Pelosi was pissed, obviously, right? And now that Trump has been acquitted and basically has been stated he wasn't responsible for what happened on January 6th, Pelosi said they're going to launch a 9/11-style commission to investigate the January 6th Capitol storming. What does that mean? Well, it means basically they're going to make some form of investigation bureau or division to strictly take a deep dive into everybody that was involved and to find the root cause, essentially, right?
It's super funny that they want to do this, which is going to cost
the
government hundreds of thousands of dollars to get this set up in the first place, to get a bureau.
You're going to have to pay for it. You're going to have to pay for it, for one.
And you know what? That actually ties in greatly, because if you're going to have to pay for it, your $1,400 stimulus check ain't going to do shit.
Like, here's the thing. If you want my honest opinion on what happened on January 6th, I know a lot of people ain't going to like it. I just think truly it was unruly people. People were pissed. They were fed up. You know, truly, they thought the election was a scam, it got stolen. one person decided to storm, you know, or say, screw it, let's storm the Capitol. And I bet you other people were like, yeah, you know what, let's do it. It unfortunately led to the deaths of some people. Obviously, it was a deadly, you know, it was a deadly storming. What was it? I know an officer got killed. I know a lady got shot. I don't think there's anyone other than that, right?
That's all I'm tracking. But the thing that annoyed me with conservatives, Republicans during that, when they stormed the Capitol, was that everyone was saying, oh, well, it was the Democrats that stormed it. It was Antifa that stormed it. I'm just like, okay, well, even if it was the fact of that it was Antifa that started it,
you ran behind them.
Who fucking followed?
Exactly.
Republicans did. Trump supporters did. So then that, even if you want to use that argument, you lost all credibility. So, like, it doesn't matter if they started it or not.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know. I'm not going to side on that type of topic, but.
Right.
Like, you still followed them. Your mindset was that if they're going to do it, I'm going to do it too. I'm going to follow them.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Just because someone else does it doesn't mean it's okay. But I will say this. We are the people, and ultimately you should be able to walk into Congress and voice your opinion, because ultimately we, the people, hold the most power in the United States. You know what I mean? It's how we were founded. It is what democracy is, or at least what we live in. Our style of democracy, more of a republic. But it's just, again, it's not this deep conspiracy of this was an organized domestic terrorist attack incited by violence. No, it was a bunch of idiots that decided to run after whoever started it. Sure, you want to say it's Antifa, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, you have your conspiracy theories about it, but ultimately it's something that could have been avoided. And it was just just stupid people doing some stupid stuff. That's all it is.
Now, don't get me wrong. They did the right thing. For the wrong fucking reason.
Exactly.
I mean, going to the Capitol, going to the government, yeah, awesome. Exactly. It's way better than going to privately owned businesses.
Yeah.
But
burning down cities.
But going to the government and breaking in over the fact that you're mad over an election, especially younger people, you're going to go through a lot more elections than you think you're going to go through unless you die early.
Right.
Like, going there, doing all that extra shit just for the sake of being mad over an election that you think was rigged is just idiotic. It makes no sense.
Because if you don't remember, the Democrats are crying that it was a rigged election in 2016 anyway, over Trump winning, you know?
Hypocrisy, that's what it is, honestly.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, if you're going to call this a domestic terrorist attack, you need to identify that the Black Lives Matter riots and the Antifa riots over the summer, those were domestic terrorist attacks. I'd argue those are more domestic terrorist attacks.
That's the thing.
You know, than the riot.
You probably saw this video. This, like, long-haired dude on TikTok. But he said, Black Lives Matter will and never will be a terrorist organization or some shit. I'm sitting there.
He's not Southern. He sounds like the most Northern dude you'll ever meet. But yeah.
Yeah, okay. You get the fucking point. But like, in my head, I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, if you go and look up the definition of domestic terrorist attack, it is a group of people.
I made a video.
It's a group of people that bring harm to a community or on. It can be a certain group of people or just a crowded group of people. Like, if you want to look up the definition.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Look up the definition. It literally US equals code the definition.
2331. It's literally U.S. Code 2331. And we scroll down to the term domestic terrorism means activities that involve acts of danger. I can't speak. I'm sorry. The term domestic terrorism means activities that involve acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of criminal laws in the United States or of any state. Spoiler alert, those things that happened over the summer were extreme violations of criminal laws and super dangerous to human lives. You'll say, oh no, it wasn't. Dude, they set buildings on fire. That is arson. That is a crime. Like that's a big crime.
In the streets.
Yeah, you're jumping people in the streets. You're killing people. They murdered that David Dorn. Murdering people.
You're robbing stores just for your own self. Like, I'm not going to say righteousness or
it's
anything.
It's looting.
Yeah, you're looting for
reparations, Tristan. The reparations. They deserve it.
I don't got to pay those.
They were also domestic terrorism means activities that appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population. It's literally what they were trying to do, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion. That's, I'd argue that burning down cities and jumping people and beating them into submission is trying to influence policy by intimidation.
It's up there, boys.
It's up there. And then the other one is says to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping, and occurring primarily within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States. I'd argue mass destruction happened as well. I think a lot of people that lost their businesses would say, yeah, no, that was mass destruction. The people who had to come by the day after and clean everything up, you know, the burnt down buildings, the looted stores, the spray painted and vandalized buildings, the burnt car carcasses just sitting out in the middle of the street. That's mass destruction, man.
Like, you can't, so what even, it's just like, it's idiotic that people want to argue against it too. Like, you literally,
yeah,
Google.
It's not.
Free,
it's not
like
terrorism. It
say.
Literally. Yeah, it's literally there.
Literally,
like,
fucking.
The
is.
Definition is there. It checks off almost every single box, or parts of each section. You know what I mean?
It's like people want to argue, like, oh, well, that was for a different reason than the Capitol raid. I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'm not condoning either of them. They might have been for different reasons.
But it's literally not, though, actually. If you think about it, the people were upset about something that had happened or what they believed was wrong. So they went and, you know, destroyed, yeah, stormed, or rioted and protested. It's literally the same backbone.
That's what I'm getting to. The causes were different, but the principle's still the same.
Right.
The principle has not changed.
Right. I'd argue it's better to go straight to the source, which is the government, and
I just wish they would have done it for a better, more logical reason instead of making everyone look like a bunch of dumbasses.
Yeah. Anyway, so this task force, right? So we're over there. I believe that Black Lives Matter and Antifa both should be categorized as domestic terrorism if you're going to categorize what happened on January 6th as domestic terrorism. So
Here
we go with what Pelosi says, independent commission will examine, you know, whatever. So we're going to take a look at this real quick. So it's whatever, you know, Speaker Pelosi, somehow she's still alive. Good Lord.
Still in office.
Yeah. They're going to take a look at the deadly insurrection that took place at the U.S. Capitol. Yeah, it was deadly, but again, you acting like nobody died during over the summer. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Obviously both losses of life, within the Capitol riot and what happened over the summer is extremely sad. And I don't condone that. I think it's horrible. Pelosi said the commission will investigate and report on the facts and causes relating to the January 6, 2021 domestic terrorist attack upon the United States Capitol complex and relating to the interference with the peaceful transfer of power. There was also domestic terrorist attacks quite literally all over the United States over the summer too, if we're going off the definition and how you're using domestic terrorism here.
It's the government. They don't care what the definition is. They just want to fit a narrative. Yeah. That's what it is.
It says, in a letter to Democratic colleagues, Pelosi said the House will also put forth supplemental spending to boost security to the Capitol. So great, they're going to put more money into security at the Capitol.
Yeah, but fuck sustaining your family for the next 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, they're going to put forth supplemental spending? Okay, who's going to pay for it? Sure ain't going to come out of Pelosi's pocket. No siree. Not whatsoever. Here we go.
Take it out of Mitch McConnell's pocket.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he didn't want to approve stimulus checks.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know why that video is playing. Investigations into the riot were already planned. I believe that. I mean, when you run up onto, when you knock down the door of what you think would be secure, which I think is honestly, in my opinion, it's hilarious. These high up elite leaders were shaking in their boots. It was hilarious. I'd be lying if I say that honestly didn't bring a smile to my face.
Yeah.
It's same. Like, you're not invincible. We show you who really has the power. So she's going to ask this retired Army Lieutenant General. I think it's Russell Honoré. I'm assuming because it's got the apostrophe. They're going to, whatever. He's going to review the security of the Capitol. You know, probably like going back, this isn't good. Let's reinforce here, which is interesting. They're going to say it's clear from the findings, whatever, from the impeachment trial that we must go forth or we must get to the truth of how this happened. Again, I can tell you exactly how it happened. Me and Tristan can both say how it happened. It's not hard. one, you know, whoever, whatever, Antifa, whoever started it, one person ran forward and other people ran behind them. Someone just sparked, you know, someone was standing in gasoline and they decided to light the match. It's not really hard to understand. It's not a hard concept. Truly, I believe that.
It's just a wolf pack, like, ideology, yeah. I guess. It's just the main person, whether you know he's the main person or not, is going to start something. The whole entire pack's going to follow. It's just going to go through with it.
Yeah. It's whatever. It's hilarious. Said there should be a complete investigation about what happened. The Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy said, again, he was one of the 7 Republicans, by the way, to convict Trump. You sell out.
Traitor.
Yeah, I bet the entire state of Louisiana is happy with you. You will not get another term, my friend. Not at all.
You're done for.
Yeah.
You are gone.
It says, what was known, who knew it, and when they knew, all that, because it builds the basis so this never happens again. It's going to happen again if you do something you don't like. Or that people don't like. Again, we're the true people in power here. The American people. You should know that because they're how you got in office. You probably won't get in office again after this, but, you know. You do you. Whatever. It says, what was known, who knew it, and when they knew. Dude, again, I would put money on the fact that it's just, again, some idiot ran forward. I'm going to beat this like a dead horse. Somebody ran forward. You know, other people followed. It's not hard. It's how riots work. You know, somebody ultimately makes the decision. Everyone's like, let's do it. Overwhelming
literally
force.
Every civil unrest, and I'm pretty sure the like whole entire history of the United States. Well, I wouldn't say that, but majority is caused by one person doing something catastrophic or doing something out of pocket. And everyone's just like, yep. That sounds like a great idea. We're going to go with that.
Here's what Cassidy also said. This is why I also think he won't get reelected. He said he was attempting to hold President Trump accountable. He said, he said something like, Americans, as Americans hear all the facts, they're going to move to where the position he was in. He said he was, and then he was obviously censored by his state's party after the vote, whatever. Dude's an idiot. Friendly fire, Hoss. And no, they're not going to hear the facts because it is openly known that Democrats and the people trying to accuse Trump during this impeachment trial were lying and used false evidence. There are no the facts that you're probably going to say, oh, this is what happens. They're not there because they never happened and they were forged.
Oh, yeah.
Again, the video of the Trump speech on January 6th being edited, the fake verification badge, again, these are enough, like, that's false information. That's what is that? What is that technically under the law, court of law? That's not perjury. Is it perjury?
Putting that one person's thing up there?
It's something. It's something illegal. It's got to be. It's false information is what it is.
Falsification to, appeal in court.
I'm not a lawyer. You're not a lawyer.
Yeah, I didn't even go to college.
We know. You made that. Never mind.
I'm going to trade school, so I think I'll learn how to be a lawyer as an electrician.
Right? Yeah.
I'll make it.
So, basically, in order for this independent investigation to, you know, go forward, you're going to have to write some form of document, you know, legislation, it says, to create it, which is true because you got to set the standards of, well, who does what job and what it's going to do, obviously, so it's out there for people to know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it says that would elevate the investigation a step higher, offering a definitive government-backed accounting of events. So you're going to need this legislation to basically gain access to all this information. And then in order also to receive funding for it, you got to put it into the legislation. So, again, everyone have fun paying for this stupid thing that's not going to get anything done. It's absolutely insane. But it does say AP reports still such a panel would pose risks of sharpening partisan divisions or overshadowing President Joe Biden's legislative agenda. Yeah, because you know when this comes out, they're going to investigate and they're going to start pointing fingers at, you know, you did this and so on and so forth. And Congress is just going to be what Congress is and just yell at each other because we're such smart people in Congress. Yay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, whatever. supposedly it said, or who is this? Chris, that just doesn't sound like a great name. Chris Coons. Oh boy, we're getting.
We do not own rights to anything that.
This is his name, people. Racist. Nobody get on my head. Since there's still more evidence that American people need and deserve to hear, and a 9/11 commission is the way to make sure we secure the Capitol going forward. No. If you lock down things like that, Tristan, I think your dog's barking. If you lock down.
Hey, shut up!
He'll eat you.
It might be my neighbor's dogs, honestly. I think my dogs are inside.
There's no more evidence really to go forward. And if you lock down and secure the Capitol, which just means more security, you're just going to, again, distance yourself from the American people, which is not a good thing because you're supposed to be a voice for the people. Because you were voted into power by the people. It's crazy to me. You know what I mean? Like, there's not more evidence. It's just people did stupid stuff. People were angry. And they voiced their opinion in a not great way. That's all it is. You know what I mean? And he goes on to say, we lay bare the record of just how responsible and how objectively violating of his constitutional oath President Trump really was. He wasn't. All his terms in office, he was the Republican Party is the party of law and order. Over and over and over and over and over and over again, beating a dead horse, essentially. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many times did he say, peacefully protest? You know what I mean? He went on Twitter and said, go home. We need to be peaceful. You know, thank you for your support, but go home. Remain peaceful. In the speech, peacefully and patriotically. Peacefully, he said it again. It's just, it's insane to me how people are just so brain dead to that.
It's just a narrative, man. It's just, they're just going to push.
Like, you're lying.
It's a narrative that makes the one party seem like it's bad. And I guess that goes for both sides, but within the last 4 years, we've always seen on the Democratic side because obviously they didn't like Trump. And so the narrative that they were pushing was against him. They're like, going to push it in a negative way.
Who's going to hold them accountable?
No one.
Us two podcasters and a couple of like people like Steven Crowder. Like, that's not a lot of power, dog.
Steven Crowder, Ben Shapiro, you, me, yeah. Hodge Twins. Like,
that's not a lot of power. Like, you're lying. Trump never violated his constitutional oath. Never did.
Nope.
It's insane to me. Whatever. They said, so the people that prosecuted, as we read further in this article, the people who prosecuted Trump, whatever, they said that they had proved their case that somehow they were right, even though, again, you lied and made up evidence. You didn't prove anything. You just looked stupid. You know, yeah. It's crazy. Ultimately, Trump came out victorious, which is funny. It is, you know, insane. It is a form of a witch hunt. You know, it blows my mind genuinely as to how stupid we can be as a society and just believe anything we hear instead of doing our own research, you know?
Yeah.
People in America really need to open. We need to open our eyes that we are openly being lied to by who you would think would not lie to you and give you just honest, you know, how it is supposed to be rhetoric, because that's what it should be. Your government official should tell you the truth. It's a constitutional oath, you know? So, yeah. But to close out on some kind of funny, corny stuff for this episode, Tristan's got a little surprise for us.
Yeah. Some drama. I don't know if it's going to be able to pull it up on yours or not.
No. We'll turn it into some TMZ stuff. So, Tristan, go ahead and explain kind of what it is. Let us be TMZ for a little bit.
A little bit. So, I don't know if y'all are here from TikTok. You obviously know that guy, J.R. Scotty, the guy who started.
Seen two pretty best friends. Yep,
right there. I ain't never seen two pretty best friends. It's always one of them got to be ugly, right? So if you guys didn't know, his junk, his ding-a-ling, his woodpecker, it got leaked on Twitter a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And a lot of creators, including Freak the Gemini, who is the person who told me about this, and I saw it from, they made.
Who we're gonna try and get on the show, by the way.
Yeah, he'll probably be on eventually. I need to talk to him. But so a lot of people went to bat for Scotty, right? Because obviously it was that whole double standard where, like, you aren't allowed to, you're allowed to body shame men, but you can't body shame women or anything like that. So a
lot of people, misandry, dog. It's misandry.
Well, a lot of people went to bat for him. A lot of people. And so this dude decided, it was a guy on YouTube as well, and I will tell you his name. Back in Action was his name. Backs in Action. My bad. B-A-X in Action.
I never heard of him.
He's a smaller YouTuber. He went to bat for him, too.
Right.
And J.R. Scotty DMs him, telling him to take all of that whatnot down. In this DM, he said, yes, take it down. Or Scotty said, yes, take it down. He said, that video has 50,000 views. Why would I do that? Also, I didn't say anything bad about you. I like your TikToks. Scotty replied with, you will be receiving legal action. My name is included in your stuff without my consent. I was just giving you a fair warning. Then, Bax in Action said, I respect and admire you so much. I was trying to defend you. I am sorry if I embarrassed you. I think you messaging people that have videos about you is going to make you look really bad if someone got angry at you. J.R. Scotty is threatening legal action against his fans and his followers for going to bat for him. That just proves how much people, like, social media and clout goes to their head. Someone backs you. Keep in mind, J.R. Scotty deleted all of his videos after he was leaked on Twitter. He deleted all of his videos.
I think they're back, but I don't know.
When that whole situation happened, right. He was embarrassed and people wanted to bat for him so people would stop fucking with him. He's threatening to sue his fans and supporters over it.
I don't think he can. He said,
there's really no legal way that he's able to sue
him. He said, for using his name without his permission, like, your name's on the internet, you post on the internet, you don't need permission.
You have a platform on the internet.
It's free creative license, basically.
There's nothing that he can really do, but just the fact that he is threatening his supporters over going to bat for him, like, I'm baffled because I don't even know what the cause would be behind that.
I supported him. I was like, because it's stupid, because you're right. Like, this backwards body positivity movement where it's like, it's okay, you have to be body positive to fat women, fat chicks, which, by the way, number two, like, leading cause of death in America is fatness. I mean, I name myself fatty, but your boy's cutting weight. We're working on it, because I don't want to be the size anymore, and it's dangerous. But
as that one TikToker said, all bodies may be beautiful, but not all bodies are healthy.
Exactly. But it's a stupid backwards concept of I can only be positive to fat chicks, and then when it comes to a guy, you can absolutely just drag him through the mud over something they can't control. Mind you, there's a small percentage of people that can control that cannot control their weight, right? Medical conditions, thyroid problems, but a lot of it can be fixed. You know, a lot of fat people, though, the majority of fat people, it's a choice. You choose to eat, not work out, and not live healthy.
You're fucking lazy. That's literally what it is.
Exactly.
I get it.
Coming from a guy named Fatty, trust me, I know.
Like, I understand what you're saying. It's just like, there's a small percentage of people that just can't handle it, or not handle it. They can't control it.
Right.
Whatever medical reasons, they aren't able to fix it. That's different. Body positivity should be focused on something that you are not able to control. Body positivity should be about someone who maybe lost a limb or something. They're not able to control it, but they're still feeling confident.
Right.
Just because you eat 32 Twinkies a day and you don't go to the gym does not mean I'm going to call you pretty. Okay? Like, that's just not – that's not how it works.
I've actually never eaten a Twinkie before, which is crazy. A lot of people used to use that joke. They're like, yo, you're going to eat a Twinkie? It's like, dog, I've actually never had one.
Joke to you when we first met, when we're on that Zoom call. It was like, you and me, Lucky Sid, everyone.
They're like, you need to eat Twinkies. I'm like, I've never eaten a Twinkie before. They look nasty. They look nasty.
They don't even make those anymore, do they?
Yeah, they do. They're in gas stations.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
I thought they discontinued them or something.
No. But yeah, no, like, that's... it's the political correctness, man. Like, this body positivity movement is a sham, and it's just more misandry. Tying into the first thing we talked about in today's episode, like, the open hate towards men is insane. Lead the world in the most, or I don't know the world. I know for a fact we lead the U.S. in most suicides, which is not a good thing. We don't need to bump that number up. We need men in the world. You know what I mean? Like, you need men. Look at the rate of single mothers out there and look at like kids that are in jail or something that have come from a single mother household or a household where the father wasn't present, maybe in jail, you know, like that's still in my mind, like counts as single motherhood, but like you need men. And when you openly hate towards men for being men, for doing what they're supposed to do to provide, protect, and to help, you know, discipline kids and grow kids and be role models for their sons, it just damages society more and more and more, you know? And yeah. It's a bad thing. You know, masculine traits, masculinity is not a bad thing. Like, masculinity is literally what makes a man. Femininity makes a female. It's literally why they're called those things. You know, that's why things are masculine and why things are feminine. Like, this open hate towards men is a stupid idea, and it damages our society more and more, you know? We're seeing a rise in mental health a rise in negative mental health, yeah, which is not a good thing. Also, we do self-diagnose as Gen Z, which is not smart, but you get what I'm trying to say. This open hate is not good, so...
Well, do you think that wraps it up about there? We're at hour 40.
Yeah.
Longer than the last one.
Yeah. Just to close, don't be ashamed for who you are if you're a man. All my boys out there, all the guys listening. Being masculine is a good thing. You're a man for a reason. But act like a man. Don't be toxic. Don't be stupid. Don't be an F-boy. It's not wise. Be a strong, respectable man. You know, be chivalrous. You know, people say chivalry is dead. It is not. We can revive it. Be a leader. You know what I mean? Be that stability. Be that anchor for our female counterparts. You know? But with that being said, that about wraps it up for us. If you're watching on YouTube, again, please consider subscribing. It's great. It's free. Why not? If you do, hit that bell notification so you don't miss an upload we do. We're going to upload bits and clips from different podcasts and different episodes. That way, like, we posted something on the gun breakdown of HR 127, strictly just that, so you can watch just that segment. There'll be breakdowns of that all the time. Make sure, again, you follow the Twitter. You've probably seen, if you're watching on YouTube, the ticker go across. That is our Twitter @. So you don't follow that. Don't not miss an update. That is Pure American Pod. That is the Twitter handle. Follow that. And, yeah. Check us out on all these other platforms if you're just listening on audio. Thank you so much. If you want to watch me and Red Boy's ugly mugs, if you're listening on audio, go to YouTube. It's there. And you'll probably see how stupid we look because we're not the prettiest people. Actually, Red Boy's just disgusting. Actually, he's hideous. But yeah, no, that about does it for us. Appreciate y'all, and we'll catch y'all in the next episode.
No comment.
Deuces.